Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch as we ease our way toward a weekend this December 8th, 2017. We're sitting in the Allstate Showcase studio along a bright and sunny Michigan Avenue, although the coats and the hats are on. Andrea Haines is in the studio. She's the editor of Blue Sky Innovation. You read that at the Chicago Tribune, following up on the world of tech and innovation in the city. Andrea, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
Okay, when we talk, and I talk to the folks from Chicago Inno on Mondays, and there always are a few companies that get the headlines or are always around. One of those has been in the recent months is Uptaik, this company started by Brad Keywell, right?
Yep.
And they're back in the news. They've been in the past few weeks where Caterpillar sort of withdrew and then they picked up some more funding. And now there's the Tribune's writing some news that Valor Equities are they withdrawing or what exactly is happening here?
They did. So this Chicago private equity firm had invested $35 million into Uptaik, which is basically a predictive analytics focused
right.
startup
so
from
I've
the
got,
founder of Groupon.
If I've got 1,000 tractors, they've got software that'll tell me when my tractors are going to die.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's the theory.
The sales pitch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's intended to do. So Valor Equity had invested a few months ago, and then, you know, no one's connecting the dots. There's kind of not a ton of information on this yet, but Caterpillar they sort of renegotiated their situation with Uptaik, and then not long after that, Valor Equity decided to kind of cash out.
So, but Caterpillar withdrew their equity part, but they are still working with Uptaik, right?
Exactly. So they said they would continue to be a customer. They would continue to work with them to a point, but they're not as immersed.
And Valor? They withdrew, but in between those two, they picked up some more money, right?
They've raised quite a lot of money. They've raised $117 million in their latest round of funding and a total of $263 million overall.
Okay.
And they have 800 employees, mostly right here in Chicago.
So what's up?
You know, we'll see. There's, you know, nobody was really talking about what kind of the implications were here, what caused it. The private equity fund did say they sort of expressed some confidence in their, you know, their long-term vision and disruptive potential were the words that they used. But they did say that their perception of the risk involved in the investment had changed over the last couple months, and that's why they wanted to go ahead and get their money back out.
Well, here's wishing good things for them because I'd love to see them succeed.
Yeah, it's, you know, 800 employees, so you have to wish well for them.
All right, let's go a little smaller to no employees or maybe one employee.
Yes.
There's a great story about this new venture called Go Nanny, and the great part of it for me is the investment that this young woman is putting into her dream. But when I read about GoNanny, I thought of Sister City right away. Tell me about GoNanny and what it is, how they hope to fit into this market.
Yeah, so GoNanny is working at 1871. They're part of the Wisdom Women Tech Program. And their idea is doing kind of a hybrid of almost a nanny childcare type service, but also with a sort of chauffeuring service for kids who need to get from point A to point B.
Which there's some cash there, I would think.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, just kind of what you need, right? A trusted person to maybe get your kid from point A to point B.
Now, when Sister City started, I'm like, well, who's going to go sort of anonymously online and hire a babysitter? They had great success.
They did it.
And so this nanny, this is a little longer term thing. I'm sure they're checking out their would-be nannies and all of that too.
Yeah, so they've described they have ways that they're, you know, vetting the nannies. They're starting slow. You know, they're not a massive business at this point, so they need to get people signed up both as providers and as customers. They have a waiting list for customers right now as they kind of ramp up with getting potential nannies signed up. And their idea is that you book through the platform, but you also get the same person at least most of the time. So
right.
You wouldn't necessarily randomly have some completely different person each
nanny
time.
Du jour.
You kind of get matched a little bit with somebody that meets your needs, and then hopefully most of the time you're getting that person.
All right, let's talk about Patrice Darby, who is the woman behind this, because she took everything. It looks like she took everything she has and put it into this business.
She did, and she sort of has doubled down on like trying to make this work. She has some background in childcare. And she just kind of felt like she saw the problems on both sides. And she's been definitely hustling, using kind of family members to help her get the business off the ground, using personal funds. So there's a little bit of an entrepreneurial story there of somebody really throwing their heart and dollars.
After their dream, right?
Exactly.
The story says she dropped her $20,000 in savings. When that ran out, she moved in with her sister, sold most of her possessions, including some clothes, TV, furniture, to raise another $3,500. So.
Yep.
All right, so everyone go out there, have some kids, and then hire
help them out. They also did recently get $25,000 from Pipeline Angels, which is a New York-based firm that tries to help out businesses like this that are getting started. So that'll give them a boost.
And I know she's having a Go Nanny boot camp. I think that's tomorrow.
Yes, and that's to sort of help train, you know, so they're ramping up on all sides or trying to.
All right, check that out. Go Nanny. Okay, let's talk tweets. The Twitter was out with its top 10 tweets and retweets and likes of 2017, and I would imagine the president's fuming a little bit.
Yeah, so Donald Trump lost out to Barack Obama in terms of the most retweets on tweets that happened in 2017, which is kind of funny because, you know, the real Donald Trump has been driving the news cycle with his tweets for more than a year, certainly more than that. But Barack Obama, who tweets much less often, has sort of hit with just, you know, the resonance factor, well, I guess. People are retweeting him a lot.
And the big one was after the Charlottesville riots or protests or attack where he tweeted, and this was Nelson Mandela's quote, right? No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion.
Yeah, and that struck a chord.
Okay, so we have less than a minute, but let's dive into this a little bit because Donald Trump clearly is much more influential on Twitter than Barack Obama is, but Donald Trump is more of a I'm going to say linear, but that's straight. We go to see what he says and then we pull out. Whereas Barack Obama's words are a more shared sort of approach, where we see what he says and then we share that with others. Right?
Yeah, and I think also maybe the rarity of his tweets. You know, they're rare, they're eloquent, so that maybe makes people share them more. Donald, you know, he's coming right back with another one soon enough.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And they're not necessarily, his aren't necessarily sentiments that express something for you that you then want to share. He's kind of driving his own agenda, yeah. Whereas the Obama tweets that have been popular have been more, you know, high thinking, sort of lofty sentiments that, you know, that cause
right.
people
so
to want to take on those words.
If he were to pick the game between the Bears and the Bengals, no one would retweet that.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. okay, and we should mention the number one retweeted tweet of the year was the Chicken Nuggets guy.
It
not Chicken
Wendy's,
Nuggets, Wendy's, yeah.
Yes, the Wendy's Nugs dude who wanted to get the free nuggets from Wendy's. And as you and I were saying, didn't that feel like it was about 3 years ago?
Dude, a kid needs his nugs. All right,
yes.
I'm really late. Nice to see you. Have
Thank
a great
you, Steve.
Weekend.
You too. Have a great one.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Tom Gimbel is in the studio. He is the founder, CEO of the LaSalle Network. Tom, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Good to be with you, Steve.
The weekend's going well so far?
So,
I count it, right? I think it's Thursday.
When did it start?
So you were quoted in the Tribune in a piece about holiday parties.
Yep.
I'm embarrassed when you come in here because you invite me all the time
you
to all
come.
Of your events.
You never come. I know where we stand.
No, that's not true. I don't
go
anywhere.
3 minutes a week, we're best friends.
This will be my. Is it three? No. This my 2018 resolution will be to get out.
I'll take it.
Okay, but the idea was about Christmas parties and whether they are sort of there's a damper on them given these times with the sexual harassment and all of that stuff.
So we combine. We do an interesting thing. We combine our holiday party for our staff with our clients and our vendors and our partners and friends of the company. So we have everybody together. It was actually last night we had about 900 people show up.
Wow.
And my feeling is actually we started doing it with our clients in 2009 during the right after the recession. We were still in business, we were still making money, and I wanted to send a message that we were going to reinvest in our people and celebrate the holidays. And I think it's a good thing to do, and I don't think we should be worried about sexual harassment on one day of the week. We should be worried about sexual harassment
every
365
day.
Days a week.
I want to read a quote from Andrew Challenger from Challenger Green Christmas from this story.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew's been on the show. He's a great guy.
I know Andrew,
you know,
sure.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. But the tone of it was interesting. Businesses, quote, want to ensure workers have a safe and happy holiday season, not one marred by a disturbing workplace party experience, you know, which just shows where our brain is. Oh, we can't do that. That's risky. That's dangerous.
If you have somebody who you can't trust at the holiday party, are you trusting them with your clients? Are you trusting them with your financial information? This is a judgment case, right? So you're looking at something. And so I didn't hear one bit of the sexual harassment stuff that said Harvey Weinstein did this at the holiday party. I missed that.
No.
I missed that Travis, his name at Uber, did it at the Christmas party. I didn't see that, right?
We can't have a golf outing because things could go wrong.
Kevin Spacey was doing sexual assaulting on the golf course at the golf outing. I didn't hear that.
So you must see real benefit in having these parties.
It's the same reason it's always. It's a way for people to gather not working, and yes, we don't have prohibition anymore. Have a few adult cocktails, and to enjoy one another's company, and say it's been a great year.
And tell me about the dynamic of having a party for your clients and your employees at the same time.
It's a way for...
Because it's got to change the feel of it in, I would think, in a positive way, but it's got to be a different feel than if it's just clients or just employees.
Yeah, what it does is it allows your customers to see your employees in a social setting. It allows
real people.
Yes, and it allows your employees who are working so tirelessly to deliver a product or service for your customers, and they see them as this almost larger-than-life, we-depend-on-you mentality to a real person. And you get to actually sit back and laugh about not only the good things, but we all have problems that exist. Listen, if every service or manufacturer always provided great things for their clients, everything would be a monopoly. We get to sit back with our clients and laugh about where we messed up, too.
All right, you threw a party last night for 900 people.
Yep.
What did it put you back?
A lot. A lot.
That's a big expenditure.
But you know what? I look at it. You know, we track ROI, return on investment, on a lot of things, most things that we do. And I look at this and say, because I invested in this event and people really enjoyed themselves, and I know because the party ended at 9:30 and people were out until 1 in the morning.
Oh, good.
Right? So that's a recruiting tool. People want to stay at a company that reinvests and cares about people. So if I save 5 or 6 or 10 people from leaving my company because they know that we care and want to have fun, then I made that money back.
It's funny you say that. Jack Lavin is coming up after the headlines, the new CEO of the Chicagoland Chamber.
Yep.
And one of his priorities, he says, is setting a tone region-wide about retaining employees, about retaining talent. And that's exactly what you're
Absolutely.
Talking about.
You can't, believe me, I have a peer group of CEOs in the city and around the country that call me up and they'll say, you're insane. Why would you do this? Why would you make it that big? I said, why would you not? Why would you not show your people that you care about them? And why would you not, as the CEO, want to spend a night enjoying it with all levels of people in your organization?
Well, we all know it's got to be a big invitation list if I make it.
It would be bigger if you actually came. I mean, we got problems.
Nice to see you. We'll talk again soon.
Have a great weekend.
Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network. Check him out at Tom Gimbel on Twitter.
And LaSalle. At LaSalle Network.
Thank you. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, 1238 on this Friday afternoon. And about 5 or 6 o'clock, the bell will sound and Jack Lavin will have had 1 week under his belt as the CEO. Is it CEO of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce? Welcome to the Business Lunch.
Steve, thanks for having me on.
You know, I know you as a government guy, right? I mean, my interaction or thoughts of you would have been as chief of staff for Pat Quinn.
Sure.
When I look over your resume, you were in private sector before that, worked in economic development and government before chief of staff. So tell me about the hybrid of having both of that experience and how that would serve you here.
Sure. See, that's a great question. I think it's really important here because the intersection of business and government is so important to drive the economy. And so my background, as you mentioned, I was chief of staff for Governor Quinn and chief operating officer for the state of Illinois. During the Great Recession, we had to do a lot of work to come out of that. We passed the largest capital bill in the history of Illinois, the Obama stimulus package. That was all important. I was also director of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity for 6 years. But I also worked in the private sector. I worked for Abbott Laboratories, my first job out of school. Great job out of school. So a large company.
Right.
And then I also worked for a small business. I worked for a restaurant company. We did Panda Express and Papa John's Pizza, names that everybody knows. When I went there, we had 8 restaurants, and we grew to 140 restaurants.
Okay, so now you're at the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. Where are we? Where is the Chicago sort of business community now, and where do you hope to bring it?
You know, the Chicago
take all the time you need.
Do we have an hour? No. It's, you know, the Chicago business community is doing great. You know, I think we often get this perception that is out there that, you know, we have these issues, but we have great assets in Chicago. We have infrastructure. We have great public transit. We have airports. We have great higher education institutions that train our workforce and give us great workers. We have a great quality of life. We have green space. We have a lot of assets that help bring companies. When I was at the Department of Commerce, We brought over 525 companies, either brought them here or retained them here. Mm-hmm. And why do they come here? Why are headquarters coming to Chicago? Because we have a great quality of life and a great workforce.
But, you know, maybe we beat ourselves up, but it seems like we focus on the negative. That, I mean, there's the tax burden, there's the stagnation. In Springfield, there are pension issues no matter where you go. I mean, those are downsides, too.
Those are all challenges, Steve, that we need to address. The pension issue, I was there firsthand. We passed one pension reform back in 2010, which significantly saved money, but we need to go to the next step. And the business community needs to have those issues addressed because it does affect the tax structure in Illinois.
Okay, so a company is looking to expand or move here. I would imagine they're looking at both of those sides, but are the pros outweighing the cons?
The pros are definitely outweighing the cons, and I'll tell you why. Taxes are important. There's no doubt about it. But where do companies want to locate? They want to go where the talent is. There's a recent Economic Club presentation. The CEO of Pinterest was there, Ben Silverman. He said companies want to go where the talent is. We have the talent here in the Chicagoland area. We're the hub of the Midwest, the capital of the Midwest. We have great educational institutions. And we have this great urban feel. And so we're getting a lot of millennials, a lot of young talent, a lot of tech talent coming here. And that's really, when a company looks at their income statement, what is it? Cost of labor, cost of goods. If you have productive and efficient labor, which we have, that's going to be good for the company's bottom line.
The Congress is looking at a tax bill. They're trying to reconcile now the two different versions. But it doesn't look good for the blue states, you know, the salt write-off state and local taxes that you can do now that they want to take away. Is that going to hurt Chicago business?
You know, I think it's early to tell, and I still think the House and the Senate have to go to conference committee and work things out, and there's still some significant differences between the two bills, including the issues that you addressed, the local and state taxes and the property taxes. So I think that remains to be seen, but I do think it's important to look at the business community, and here in Chicagoland area, you know, we've had sales taxes go up, the cloud tax, property taxes, you know, one at a time, whatever, but then you put a cumulative effect, it does affect the business community and how they're going to add jobs and grow. So we do need to be cognizant of that. And we need to look at ways to, reduce the cost of government and make it more efficient so we can go to that and save money rather than just constantly turning to raise taxes.
You know, one of my things is the workers' pay. And, I've been doing this job for a few years, and the experts have always said once the economy picks up and starts growing, once the job market heats up, we're going to see workers' pay go up. I think today's figure was 2.5%, which is better than it's been, but still below, I think, what a lot of people would like to see. As in your position, you're representing the business owners in many ways. What do you feel about worker pay, and do you encourage increases in pay that way? Right? I mean, it's not really your hat, but it is your hat when it comes to having the whole market, the whole industry-wide area happy.
Right. I think what's important to our members, 90% of our members say, what is going to inhibit your growth? What's going to be your greatest challenge to growth? It's talent acquisition and retention. They need good workers. Sometimes you got to pay a little more. Right now, the labor costs are not going up. That's good for business, but they want productive and efficient workers, and that's going to make them the most profitable and successful.
You represent the big guy and the littlest guy. Which has got to be a little bit of a challenge too, right? Because they have the big guy. I'm sure they have shared interest, but they also have very different views and very different needs when it comes to fostering business growth.
They do have different needs, but I think a couple of needs that are true across the board. They need advocacy. They need an independent voice of business fighting for them to make sure, we reduce regulations, keep taxes in check, and that thing. They also need connections. Everybody needs a network and make connections to grow their business. And so we have a lot of programs to try and bring small businesses and large businesses together so the small businesses can find markets for their products. And it's especially important in the mid-market segment, which we have a mid-market initiative, because the mid-market companies, they aren't the big Fortune 100 companies that have recruiting departments right, and all that. But they need to do recruiting, and they need to do advocacy, and they need to do networking and make connections.
All right, you've been on the job for a week. A year from now, and you've been on the job for 1 year and a week, what do you hope we will have seen change? Or what sort of changes would you hope to affect in this first year?
Well, I think as I mentioned before, 90% of our members talk about talent acquisition and retention. And really, we need to make sure we have that talent to help our workforce grow. We need to find ways to connect, especially our mid-market businesses, with this talented labor. You know, the University of Illinois Engineering College, number one in the world, my alma mater, and University of Chicago, where I also went, business school, are coming together. They're bringing top talent business and engineering. Now we need to connect them to the business community because these are the workers, the talent, the innovation that's going to help these companies grow.
Will you be working with Amazon a year from now?
Yes. Well, I can't make that prediction. I think we have...
I don't want a prediction. I want a promise, Jack.
We have everything it takes to make Amazon successful here. We have the sites. We have the workforce, the innovative workforce, talented tech workforce. We have a great quality of life, a good cost of living relative to some of the other people in the competition. So we have everything it takes. You know, we certainly are optimistic that we'll make the first cut and then be able to make a strong presentation and get Amazon to be here.
Jack Lavin, the CEO, the new CEO of the Chamber, Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. Nice to meet you. Hope to have you back soon.
Can I give one shout out?
Absolutely.
My daughter, Katie, becomes a teenager today. And
oh,
I just want to say happy birthday.
Happy
new 13-year-old,
birthday, Katie.
So.
And good luck, Dad.
Great. Thank you, Steve. And Steve, thanks for all you do for
yep.
the Chamber.
We'll talk again. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch.
We have grown.
It's 12:53. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And we're going to talk to Front Row Phyllis. Is Phyllis on the phone line there? I can't quite see. Oh, there we go. About some activities this weekend. Phyllis, this time of year, the glare comes in the studio, and I couldn't see the phone line. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome back. Nice to talk to you. So it's holiday time, right? So I would imagine
Yes. That
means we're all about the holiday shows this week.
We are all about the holiday shows, including the one that everybody waits every year for, and that is the Dave Koz Christmas Tour, and that's going to be tomorrow evening
okay, wait.
At the Chicago Theater.
That is so funny you say that, because I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know what that is. But this is a very popular thing that I'm completely oblivious about.
Yes, and well, you know what? There's still tickets available. It's tomorrow evening over at the Chicago Theater. And for all the smooth jazz lovers, this is definitely something that they wait all year for. And this year is actually going to be extra special because he's reuniting two of the original members, which is David Benoit along with Peter White. And then he also has Rick Braun performing, too. It's really beautiful. I mean, if you've never seen it, it's something to definitely check out. It's beautiful. It gets you in the Christmas spirit. It's got great smooth jazz. You just kick back at the beautiful Chicago Theater. So, yeah.
Okay, and tickets are still available for that?
They are.
Okay, so we'll look at that. You know, one of the things that I know is a great tradition for families at Christmas, and I don't know if my whole family ever went to see the Christmas Carol at the Goodman. I was always a big supporter of it, but sometimes I stand alone in my family. So, it didn't quite. And my son always had a vivid imagination, so I think introducing him to Ghost wouldn't have been a good idea. But
right. Here
we are, right? This is the time that's up and running
is.
At the Goodman.
It is. It's running now through December 31st. It runs about 2 hours and 20 minutes. With one intermission, and this is actually their 40th year of performing a Christmas carol here in Chicago. So, yeah, it's hard to believe that it's been actually celebrating 40 years of this wonderful play.
Wow, so, you know, okay, so there's that. And then another thing, I'm going to throw in something that I didn't expect to say, but the Mrs. Murphy's Irish Bistro up in the neighborhood along Lincoln Avenue, they have sort of an Irish Christmas market, I think. And my wife and I are going to do that tomorrow.
Yes.
I just thought of it because I see another thing my wife's going to do tomorrow is this one-of-a-kind holiday show at the Merchandise Mart. I don't know what that is.
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, people wait all year for this, too. It's actually the 17th annual one-of-a-kind holiday show. So it runs now through December 10th. And that is on Sunday over at the Merchandise Mart. There's going to be over 600 artists showcasing their beautiful, you know, things for you to purchase, especially this time of year, right? I mean, all I got to say is that, you know, she's got the search card.
Well, she can buy whatever she wants. But so she's going to come back. So it's an art show,
yeah,
sort of?
Everything from, well, it's kind of like there's accessories to purchase and bath and body and homeworks, and as well as ceramics and art pieces and jewelry. So there's something for everybody at this event.
All right, that's so, coming up. All right, Front Row Phyllis on the phone line. Where do people find more information, Phyllis?
Just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
All right, good to talk to you.
You too.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch.